Welcome to Dear Runner Bod, the pod dedicated to helping you embrace your runner's body. I'm Serena Marie RD, a registered dietitian and body image coach who wants you to stop dieting and start fueling the athlete within. While I am a medical professional, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure. Now, let's start rewriting your body's story. Today, we are talking about a topic that I am extremely passionate about. I was passionate about it before I started living it, which is, you know, pelvic floor therapy. I just kind of knew it was a thing that we needed to care about and that there wasn't enough, information available to women and that our, healthcare system wasn't providing access to pelvic floor therapy for postpartum. I like knew to be like mad about all of it. And I knew to care about all of it, but I didn't really get it until I got pregnant. And all of a sudden, you know, now I have to pee 24 hours a day. Running is no longer comfortable because my freaking back hurts and my, you know, have to pee constantly. And I am just so grateful to have a pelvic floor therapist in my corner. I do want to acknowledge that some of today's conversation is kind of assuming or maybe even making you feel pressured to have access to a pelvic floor physical therapist. And perhaps this is something that isn't accessible for you for monetary reasons, because like I just said, insurance is kind of a jerk and not, it doesn't always cover it. So I just want to let you know, Dr. Victoria and I do talk about that in our interview. We talk about how there are ways to find free local workshops in your area, potentially that there are online physical or pelvic floor physical therapists that you can do a program through their online course, which may be more affordable and it's better than nothing. And I do just want to mention as well that in terms of, this is not pelvic floor therapy, but in terms of learning diaphragmatic breathing and really getting good about the breathing component of keeping a strong pelvic floor, which is something I never really paid attention before to, I really found that the SLAM app, and this is not affiliated, like the SLAM app doesn't have any clue who Serena is, but the SLAM app, S-L-A-M, I did I think they had like a free 30-day trial. I can't really remember. This was back in like November, but I took their first free training. I think it was free or it was like $10. It was really cheap. And it basically taught me how to breathe. And I did those exercises and that app was so instrumental to like finally having it click for me and understanding how to breathe correctly for pelvic floor. So my point is I really hope today's interview inspires you to get help if you decide you need help. I think pelvic floor dysfunction is probably more common than I ever knew. Dr. Victoria kind of points out some of the things that can set us up for pelvic floor dysfunction. And I kind of had a light bulb go off of like, oh dear, like this is something I've probably needed for way longer than just most recently the last 6 months of pregnancy. So I really hope that if you do feel like you need pelvic floor support or therapy and it is not accessible to you due to finances, I really hope you can hopefully reach out to a free workshop in your community or doing an online program or even something using like the SLAM app and then also the pelvic floor or the core for pregnancy workouts that Peloton has. I've also found to be really helpful. Robin Arzone kind of goes through the breathing and I found that to be really instrumental in teaching me how to breathe correctly as well. So again, just want to kind of mention, I know it's not always accessible to everyone. That makes my freaking blood boil. But I really do think it is something that we can at least kind of pay attention to. And even if you can't necessarily see a therapist, hopefully just kind of having this awareness that it's important and kind of taking some of the tips and tricks that Dr. Victoria mentions today on the podcast can be helpful to give you some of the support that your body potentially needs. So anyway, I'm totally going off script here, but today's guest is Dr. Victoria Clement. And Dr. Victoria Clement is a amazing physical therapist who specializes in pelvic floor therapy. I found her because she actually is the owner of the physical therapy studio that I go to for pelvic floor. And she has a social media presence, which is why I'm interviewing her on my podcast rather than the physical therapist that I actually work with, who is also wonderful. But Dr. Victoria is a physical therapist specializing in pelvic floor, perinatal, and orthopedic athlete rehab in the Philadelphia area. She started Restore Physical Therapy and Pelvic Health in 2021 with the goal of better educating her community about pelvic health and providing higher quality physical therapy care through a holistic lens. She has a special place in her heart for patients who are expecting, so she went on to complete birth doula training to effectively teach others how to use their body biomechanics to have a better labor and postpartum experience. You can find Dr. Victoria on Instagram and TikTok at restorethefloor.doc. So it's like period doc. I'll have it written in the show notes for you as well. Or you can contact the clinic directly at info@restorethefloorpt.com, or you can call 267-209-0930. Victoria is awesome. She is so smart. Her and her team are so kind and welcoming and really truly make you feel like they care about you. It really stood out when I was reaching out to different pelvic floor studios in the Philadelphia area. Her studio, when they reached out to me, really made me feel like they cared about my preventative treatment and my birth experience. So I was immediately drawn to working with her studio. Before we dive into today's interview, I do want to do our review of the week. Review of the week is your chance to help me spread the word about the podcast. Our mission, if you're listening to this, you care about female bodies. You care. You want the runners in our community to be fueling their body like an athlete. And so when you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, it pushes the podcast out to find new listeners, new women who can learn how to feel empowered in their skin. You want that? I want that. Plus, if you leave a review, you can win a free masterclass from me. You can pick from a meal planning masterclass, an intra run hydration masterclass, a stop your sugar cravings masterclass, a love your body bad body image detox masterclass. So many to choose from. All you have to do is leave a review. So this week's winner is ASU Joan, and ASU Joan had to say, listen, you'll like it. Serena shares her vast knowledge as an athlete, coach, and registered dietitian in each episode. She encourages listeners to embrace a healthy lifestyle and not strive for perfection, and even more importantly, a healthy mindset, which is backed with her experiences and education. Serena has real talk about what us, especially as females, are faced with in society. I have periods of not running and still found that the podcast is informative and relevant. I recommend giving the podcast a listen. ASU Joan, make sure you reach out to me. This is actually a friend of mine, so you can text me, or you can just DM me on Instagram at runnergirldietitian, or you can email me serena@serenamarierd.com to claim your free masterclass. But as you can see, pretty much anyone who leaves a review wins a masterclass. So if you want a free masterclass, all you got to do is leave a review and you will win one. I'm about to batch a bunch of episodes for maternity leave. So pretty much if you leave a review, as long as it's 5 stars and it's nice, you're going to win a prize. So there you go. That's the truth on the table. Anyway, let's dive into today's episode. I can't wait for you to listen. Welcome to another episode of Dear Runner Bod. Today, I have a guest who is going to answer lots of questions about a topic that I am extremely passionate about right now. Welcome, Dr. Victoria. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Serena, for having me on.
I am so excited to talk with you because, you know, before I was pregnant, I had heard lots of things about pelvic floor. It was why I knew I should reach out to a pelvic floor therapist, but like I didn't really get it. And now that I'm pregnant, I'm like actively understanding and appreciating everything that you as a pelvic floor therapist does for pregnant athletes like me. So literally, like, I'm just so excited to pick your brain today.
I'm excited to tell you anything you want to know. I'm an open book. Any questions? Nothing's off the table with me.
Okay. Let's dive into it then. So, you know, I kind of want to start at like the very beginning because, again, I feel like I barely understand what's going on down there, even though I'm putting so much time and effort into protecting my pelvic floor. Like, what is a pelvic floor? And I guess, you know, specifically this podcast is for female runners. So if you were kind of trying to like really make sure that the female runner is listening and paying attention and cares about the pelvic floor, like what do we need to know as a population to understand like why the pelvic floor is important?
Yeah, of course. So basically, they are a group of muscles that sit in your pelvis. So they're responsible for holding up your organs, bowel and bladder function, sexual function, and of course, having a baby. So they're important and they are very ingrained into your hips, your low back, your legs. So if something's going on at the pelvic floor or vice versa, other places can be affected, those places around it. So that comes into running in a big way. So like if your pelvic floor is tight, you might have that hip pain, you might have leaking when you run, you might find yourself like struggling with those types of things. And that can be the breathing aspect of it. It can be your posture as you run. So there's so many different factors that go into it and the pelvic floor.
So kind of like what I'm hearing then is your pelvic floor, it's not just about, because I think as an athlete, you know, I kind of like, I need to do the exercises, right? Like that's like what appeals to me is like, let me like do the challenge of completing the workout, like doing the exercises. But I think something that can be really tricky, especially for runners who are so focused on like duration and effort, is part of this is breathing. And that is just like wild to me because especially before I was pregnant, I was like, I don't want to figure out breathing. Like, how there's nothing competitive about breathing. yeah. Like, why does breathing matter?
It does in a big way because the way that you push the pressure through your body impacts the pelvic floor. So if you hold your breath while you do an impact activity, like running, jumping, your pelvic floor is not ready. And then that's how you leak. Like it needs to coordinate with your pelvic floor contraction. So for example, if you exhale, your pelvic floor should contract, your abs should contract. It's like a big can, like a can of soda, like everything kind of goes in when you blow out and fills up equally as you blow in.
Yeah. And it really, you know, for me, I really didn't, you know, take the time to kind of master it, or I don't know if I'm a master, but like learn it until I was pregnant. And I was like, I really do need to start like caring about this. But do you feel like in day-to-day life, are we kind of set up to almost like not breathe in a way that is helpful for pelvic floor? Like, do you see any evidence of that? Just like thinking of like how busy people are, like, is it actually a little bit less, like we're less inclined to breathe in the appropriate way, would you say?
Oh, for sure. Most people aren't breathing correctly and they don't know that until they come see someone like us, they go to a yoga class, they go somewhere and realize that. And I think American society is extra guilty because like you said, we're so busy. We're so like go, go, go all the time and don't even think about breathing. We don't even stop to breathe. Like a lot of people have trouble meditating. Like even if they try to just sit down and breathe, like it's hard because your mind's going a mile, like 100 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, like I'm so guilty of, I would get confused, right? Because it's kind of like as you are breathing out is when you have to kind of be like contracting your ab muscles, or I don't know if that's the right word to use, but like when you're kind of engaging. And so like kind of trying to coordinate like the breathing out with the engagement would always confuse me. And I would like try it for 30 seconds and I'd be like, I can't do this. And I would just like give up. And I just really did not understand like how worthwhile it was to actually pay attention to breathing in a correct way. So I think hopefully if you're hearing this right now and you're like the way I was, where I was like, I don't have time for this, we should make time for it, right, Dr. Victoria?
And the cool thing is if you put the time into it and develop the pattern between your brain and your body, you don't have to think about it anymore. Like you have to think about it for a little bit to get it down, but then it becomes a second nature to you. So it's not as like conscious of an effort.
Yeah. And I can like vouch for that as somebody who has really only been working on this for like 6-ish months. Now when I'm working out, I'm not even having to think about it like I'm just breathing correctly. And I've been going to pelvic floor therapy at Dr. Victoria's physical therapy studio. Actually, I work with one of her therapists there. But the therapist checks to make sure that I'm breathing correctly when I'm squatting or doing all the things. And I'm just naturally doing it. And I'm just so proud of myself because I'm not even thinking. It's just like it's happening. So it's worth putting that effort in for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess what causes pelvic floor dysfunction? Like, is it literally the breathing wrong or is it a few things? Like, why as female athletes do we need to be especially just like aware of the fact that pelvic floor dysfunction is a thing?
Breathing's just one thing. So it could be a lot. If you injure your hip or anything around your body, like I mentioned, it can make that pelvic floor tight. The pelvic floor is in the center. So it loves to help everybody else around it. So if something's weak, struggling, pelvic floor comes in and tightens up to help. It could be from trauma. It could be from childbirth. It could be a lot of different things. Like if you are somebody that holds your stress in your abdomen and your pelvis that for a lifetime, like that could be part of it too. Some people hold it in their neck. Some people hold it in their stomach and pelvis.
I feel like that probably had some like alarm bells. Maybe that's a little too dramatic, but like definitely resonated with some people listening to this because I think as runners, we get injured. It's just like what we do. No matter how careful we are, even if you're eating correctly, you're taking your rest days, like inevitably we're probably all going to get injured at least once. And I think really common for females, or at least I'll just talk for myself, like I've definitely have had hip injuries. I have like a labral tear. I've had so many knee injuries or like IT band injuries. So are all of those kind of red flags that your pelvic floor might be kind of working differently or over time to kind of help with like a knee injury even?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That can be the start. And then unfortunately people notice like the other things. So like you start leaking, you start having constipation, you can't have sex comfortably. Like that, those things start to crop up too. And two other things that kind of play into it, like dysfunction wise, are your like bowel and bladder habits. Mm-hmm. So if you're somebody that holds your pee all day long, or if you go when you're not supposed to, so like if you're going every half an hour and you're not like, you don't actually have the cue to go, but you're just going because you want to, or you think you have to, you're developing a pattern of like urgency and incontinence by doing that. And if you're someone that's not hydrating and you're constantly constipated and straining on the toilet, like things like that matter. They snowball into problems later on.
I think that's so interesting because I can almost guarantee like everyone listening right now, you're doing at least one of those things or you've had at least one of those factors. Like I said, like injury is so common for us as runners. So that is really interesting. So like, I guess, how do you know if your pelvic floor has dysfunction? Like, do we need to wait for an extreme, like I'm leaking or I'm constipated or I don't know, like what advice would you have for somebody listening who's trying to figure out like, is this something that I need to pay attention to?
If hopefully you don't have the leaking, constipation, all that, but an earlier sign is if you're feeling really tight in your hips and you can't, and you stretch your hips and they're not getting looser, you constantly, like another one would be like, you can't insert a tampon comfortably. That's another telltale sign. You feel tight in your inner thighs and your hamstrings, like your back starts to get tight. Those are all kind of signs early on too, without the other like pelvic floor specific ones, like the urinary and bowel stuff.
Okay. So kind of like if you have one of those signs, it's definitely worthwhile to go to a pelvic floor therapist.
Yes. Yep. And you can come preventatively. So we encourage that actually. So if you start to feel symptoms that aren't right in your hips, pelvis, SI joint even, your low back, come get checked out and get ahead of it because it takes a lot less time to rehab in the beginning than if you let it turn into five different other things.
Yeah. So like funny story is, so I am going to be delivering in a in a birth center. So kind of going like the natural route here. So I was talking to my midwife about seeing a pelvic floor therapist. And, you know, I was like, I don't have any signs of dysfunction. Although now talking to you, I'm like, I have a labral tear. I have like some back pain and hip tightness. So maybe I actually do. But I didn't know that. So I was like, you know, I don't have any leakage. Like, but I am an athlete. I am running through pregnancy. I am weightlifting through pregnancy. Should I see a pelvic floor therapist? And my midwife said no. She was like, no, like there's no need. Like you can go after delivery. But I kind of just wanted to go. I don't know. My gut was telling me like, no, this is important. Like you need to go if you want to keep working out safely in pregnancy. And I'm so happy I did because I just really feel like I have so much peace of mind continuing to train and lift in pregnancy now that like Dr. Gabby assessed my form, checked my breathing. She gave me like all those videos that I can like check form and things. And I just keep reminding myself whenever I see something on social media that like scares me that, you know, you shouldn't be lifting in pregnancy. I'm like, wait, no, like I'm working with a professional. Like it is safe. So I am the biggest, I'm so happy I went kind of prophylactically and like preventatively. So like I cannot, like that is why Dr. Victoria is here right now is because like I just want everyone to hear this message.
I think that's so important. What you just said is so, so important. It is, there's evidence saying that if you stay active during your pregnancy and exercise, keep resistance training, keep your cardio up, you're going to have a better pregnancy, better delivery, and better postpartum recovery. And we've seen that firsthand with our patients that come during the pregnancy. They come back postpartum, and we might only see them like twice, like because they're doing so well. We give them a postpartum recovery plan too. So it's like if you come and get assessed on like what's weak in the body, like what do you need to focus on, and then continue doing what you're doing. So I don't recommend doing something absolutely new to you during your pregnancy. But if you're a runner, keep running. I know people that have ran up to like 38 weeks and they're just fine.
That's the plan.
Aware of your balance, like balance changes a little bit. It feels different, but you can still do it. It's not going to hurt anything. We see a lot of athletes that do like CrossFit, powerlifting, strongman, like all those types of things. And they can still do it as long as they have the space. Like as long as we're not like slamming the belly anywhere or like hitting the belly, like you're good to go. And as long as you don't have like red flag signs, like your blood pressure and heart rate, and there's nothing wrong with the placenta or the baby or diabetes, like even diabetes, like exercise is great to keep your insulin in check. The point of this is like, there's very few reasons why you shouldn't exercise during your pregnancy.
Yeah. And I just was so surprised. I thought my birth center was going to be really kind of like with it and encouraging. And not that they were like, don't you dare go to a pelvic floor therapist. But she was like, no, there's literally no reason to do it. And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I just have a weird suspicion like it would help. I guess this like – so when I was looking for a pelvic floor therapist, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just like went to Google, typed in pelvic floor therapist, and I reached out to a bunch of places. And the reason I chose your facility, Dr. Victoria, was because you guys responded with a whole like detailed email about how you encourage like prenatal preventative visits and how you had like a whole – I don't know if program's the right word, but like a whole like, you know, sequence of like we visit and we prepare you for birth. And that was really why I like chose your facility. But I'm wondering, like, are there different pelvic floor therapists that specialize in different things? Like, is that if someone's listening right now and they're not pregnant, but they think going to a pelvic floor therapist would help them, like what should we be looking for when we're choosing the right pelvic floor therapist for us?
That's a really great question. So there are different subspecialties of what we do. So Dr. Gabby loves yoga, Pilates, the active community. I'm a strongman competitor, strong woman. So like I love the powerlifters, CrossFitters, strong women, men. And I like, you'll see that on the website. But then you have your other places like Penn Medicine or like the big entities that might be a little different. Like they don't have the specialty, they're kind of there to help people with pain, with leakage. It kind of looks a little different because they don't have like the like equipment or the space or whatever to do it. So it just kind of depends. It depends like what you're looking for. Some people want more manual therapy, which is that hands-on stuff. So people that do that might be the fit for you. But my opinion, like it's good to have the manual therapy and the exercise. And that's what we do at our place.
Before we move on to other things, we need to talk about the thing that I miss most since becoming pregnant. And you may be thinking it is a juicy, medium rare hamburger. I really miss a good burger. However, it is not a burger. It is Soul CBD. Soul CBD was something I started using a few years ago when I was on a journey to naturally reduce symptoms of anxiety. I had tried anti-anxiety medication and it really did not work for me. The different medications that I tried really kind of reduced my desire to be intimate with my husband, and that was a total deal breaker for me personally. So I stopped using anti-anxiety medications and started experimenting with these natural ways to reduce anxiety. The thing that was so effective for me was CBD. CBD drops, the 1500 milligram CBD drops. I love the raspberry lemonade flavor. I love the watermelon mint flavor that Soul CBD makes. Adding them to tea or putting them under my tongue before a busy workday, it really just kind of helped me surf the feelings of anxiety and arrive to a place where I could more logically feel calmer in my skin, rather than usually that anxiety just kind of mounts and mounts and mounts and takes over before I can even logically talk back to it. So I became a huge fan of Soul CBD years ago. I was a fan. I was taking it daily to help control anxiety. And then they introduced the THC gummies that contain not only CBD to help you feel calm, but THC to just give you a little bit of something, something. The THC, the out-of-office gummies, are something that I was using before bed. Not every night, but on nights that I did feel like I had a really long day, a really hard day, I was feeling really stressed out. The THC CBD combo really helped me fall asleep quickly, stay asleep, and just really helped me to feel calm and awesome in my body. So if you are CBD curious, or if you are just looking to snag a great deal on THC or CBD, Soul CBD, you can get 30% off with the coupon code SERENA, S-E-R-E-N-A. Highly encourage you to just head over to their website, getsoul.com, and to try out some of the products for yourself. So as the manual therapy, I had someone ask like a question on Instagram, like, how in depth is this? Like, how invasive is it? And so I have not had any like, I think from what I understand, like there can be like a vaginal exam types. I mean, I guess I don't actually know. Maybe I should ask you. So like, do we have to be aware that for some people treatment will be like involving a more, is that the right word? Vaginal exam or, yeah.
I'm happy to touch on that. So you don't have to get it if you don't want it. That's first and foremost. But what if you do, and this is why we do it. So we sometimes need to assess those deeper pelvic floor muscles, and the best way to assess those is internally. So it's not like a gynecologist exam. We're not touching the cervix. We're not too invasive. It's just one finger within the vaginal canal to assess those muscles. We can also do external evaluation. So the muscles in the groin and like between the sit bone and the tailbone, that's another place that we look at. We can also do that and make some difference there. But there are some people, like I've treated some patients that don't want an internal exam, and we've done a lot of good for them without even going near the pelvis. So like your back can have a role in it, your thighs, your glutes. Like there are so many things that we can do and things that we can teach you to do yourself. Like if you're more comfortable doing an internal release yourself with a wand, a dilator, or like using a ball on the outside to release it, we can teach you that too. So it's kind of like what you want it to be. But the internal exams can sometimes be the most direct and most telling way to see what's going on.
Yeah, but I think that's really important to say that it doesn't have to include that, just in case that's like a barrier for anyone who's listening and they feel like they might need it, but that's for some reason something that would be like a non-starter. I know for me, and obviously I'm going for preventative reasons, like there's been no manual internal situation for me. And I mean, I would be open to it if I needed it. But I think that's really important conversation, because just in case there was somebody who was holding back because of that, it's good to know that there's different ways to treat the pelvic floor.
Yep. Yeah. And we only do it if it's indicated. So if there's no reason to, we don't need to.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. So I am a running dietitian, and I mostly work with long distance runners. So people that do need to fuel and hydrate on their run. And like, as a pregnant athlete now, I have a new level of sympathy for my athletes that I've worked with in the past who have said, you know, hydrating during a run is really hard because they constantly have to pee and they have to find a bathroom and like they can't hydrate because they have to pee. And, you know, now I have like a newfound empathy being pregnant. But I was wondering, because I really don't know, like, so if I'm working with an athlete who is struggling with hydrating during a run because they have to pee, is that automatically a sign that there's pelvic floor dysfunction? Like, is there other reasons that that could be happening?
It depends on how often they need to go. So like if it's every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes, that is probably a sign of dysfunction. Now, when you're running, you have to keep hydrated. So that fluid keeps going through your body, and you might have to go more often than if you were not running. We generally say like every 2 to 3 hours is how long you should go, or how like long the break should be in between. But if you're consuming a lot of water and it's going through your body more often, then you'll have to go more often. But you want to make sure, this is the thing you want to make sure about, the stream is medium to long. So like if you're counting 10 seconds or more, that's about like a stream that you want. Now, if it's like 5 seconds or less, you're probably going and you don't actually have to. You might have the urge to, and that's a pelvic floor dysfunction sign. Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting. So just kind of taking the time to count the stream. And if you're noticing you're getting that powerful urge, but then not a lot's coming out, it's probably a sign that a pelvic floor therapist could help you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is like blanket advice or like this, it doesn't actually work. But what Dr. Gabby had kind of told me was, because I was feeling the urge and then the stream was, so it was less than 5 seconds, to just ignore it. And I actually ran a whole half marathon. I had to pee so badly the entire half marathon. And the whole time I'm like, Dr. Gabby said this isn't real. Like, I was like, you don't have to stop to pee. I mean, I know she knows, like, I'm not making it up, but I was like, Dr. Gabby said it's okay. And I stopped running at the end of the half marathon, and all of a sudden the urge to pee disappeared. And I was like, gosh, like, oh, it's so annoying during pregnancy. I know it's probably different when you're pregnant versus not pregnant, but so I don't know, like, if you do notice your stream is less than 5 seconds, is it as simple as ignoring the urge, or is that not really blanket advice we can give? Like, you need to work with a pelvic floor therapist.
She's right. So you try to ignore it first.
Yeah.
And if it keeps coming back and like, I don't want to say haunting you, but like barking at you, that you should probably go. But
yeah,
if you're one of those repeat people that need to go to the bathroom all this time, like, try to hold it once or twice, and if you keep getting the urge and the sign, go. And just pay attention to the stream, like, oh, was that really necessary?
Yeah, that was really, like, I just had never struggled with this before, so that was very illuminating to hear about, like, counting the stream. And yeah, I ignored the urge and I didn't pee myself. So she was right. But it's definitely not comfortable. So like I said, I really have a lot of compassion for my athletes who now complain when I'm telling them, you need to drink at least 10 ounces per hour. And they're like, no, I have to pee. I really understand. I really understand the pain now. Okay, so we kind of talked about like what the pelvic floor is, specifically why runners really do need to be aware of like having a healthy pelvic floor, signs that your pelvic floor is not maybe healthy in the best. Like, is there anything else runners need to know about the pelvic floor that I'm not even like thinking to ask you?
I would say supplement your running with strength training. I know a lot of runners that don't do that or don't do it enough, because you need those hips to be strong to support your pelvic floor. And especially endurance training, like they need to be able to be strong for a long time. So once those hips kind of break down, like the pelvic floor tightens up, and that's when the problems happen. And make sure you're breathing consistently. So I know I mentioned like, oh, you need to exhale and contract the pelvic floor. That's kind of impossible when you're running because you're breathing so often. And so what I say to that is just breathe consistently the entire time. Like, don't hold your breath and you'll be okay.
Yeah. I was trying to pay attention to my breath after I got pregnant, like while running. And I've been running a really long time. So I was like, maybe I just like can't, I'm just like breathing. And I was like, I can't figure out like what my rhythm is. Like, it's just like happening. But yeah, I think that's a really good point. Cause I do think if you're newer to running, especially, or if you're doing like speed work, I think too, it can be easy to kind of just like hold your breath or like you're pushing and you're not even like realizing like, oh, I'm not breathing consistently. You need to breathe.
One other thing I would say too, is you want to make sure your ribs are stacked over your pelvis. So your rib cage over the pelvis. Some people flare their ribs out, like push out their chest and flare their ribs. And that can cause issues too. So like we need that can to be stacked, that soda can. And when like the top is more forward than the bottom, that can create a pressure issue on the pelvic floor.
And that's when you're running, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if I was like looking in the mirror, maybe like looking from the side, I should see that my like my boobs and my chest aren't like kind of sticking out like on a diagonal from my butt is kind of like a way of thinking about it.
Yes. And you're like another way to think about it too is like your back shouldn't be arched or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. And I know Dr. Gabby was saying that's something that naturally happens in pregnancy where your back starts to arch as your belly gets bigger. And so we're working on making sure I'm not doing that too much. You said strength training. So I think I was guilty of this. I don't do this anymore, but I would skip like lower body workouts because I was like, oh, like I'm running. So running is a lower body workout. Like I'll just work my like abs and my upper body. And I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts around, do we need full body? Do we need lower body lifting if we are running?
Yes, absolutely. And I would even go as far to say like single leg strengthening. So like variations of deadlifts and squats and lunges in a single leg kind of way, because that's what you're doing. Running's a single leg activity. So you have to make sure you're working your muscles in all the ways and not just like using your endurance system too long, but like you need them to be strong too.
Yeah. And I've personally noticed that I get much faster when I am consistent with my lower body workouts. And I think it's just from like becoming stronger and then able to like push your body with less perceived exertion because you're physically stronger.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into the weeds too much, but like your muscles have different kinds of fibers. So you have to work all of those different fibers to be healthy, like holistically healthy.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah, as much as we just want to run, it is important to get in the gym. I know Dr. Gabby also has me doing a lot of like lateral movements because running is such like a forward push movement. And so we're working on doing like lots of lateral things, step ups and crab walks and things to help with my SI joint in pregnancy. So I just think like for me, at least I want to just run, and it's very motivating to be told like, if you want to keep running, you also have to do these exercises and this breathing stuff that maybe doesn't sound as like fun in the moment, but it's an important part of being a runner.
A lot of athletes live in the sagittal plane, which is the front, forward and backward plane. So yeah, you have to incorporate that side to side, that frontal plane, that lateral, like you said, and then rotation. Rotation's huge too. Like that's even less than the lateral plane. And there are ways that you can do that during your pregnancy. I know there's fear out there, like don't over twist, don't do this. But there are ways to work the obliques, work your hip rotators without harming the baby or harming yourself.
Yeah. And I actually think we worked on that in physical therapy when I was there on Tuesday, was we started doing some rotational like halo things and stuff. So yeah, Dr. Gabby's got me covered. What if somebody doesn't have access to a pelvic floor physical therapist, like whether it's like a monetary thing or I don't know, like literally like they can't drive to one nearby. Like, is there anything that person can do to just kind of get some support with pelvic floor?
Yeah. So there's always free workshops going on. You just got to look for them. Free workshops of pelvic. There's lots of pelvic floor PTs popping up. So like, a lot of them do like an online thing or an in-person workshop. There are online programs that pelvic floor PTs sell for a lower cost. And then trying to think of what else. There are some like personal trainers out there that have some knowledge about the pelvic floor too. So like, that could be a way to start. And then if you're having a lot of like symptoms, dysfunctions, like that might be worth checking in with a therapist. Like if it's a matter of the driving and the distance and all of that, like you can do telehealth appointments with them. If it's a monetary thing, like there are ones that take insurance as well that you might have to wait a long time to get into one, but there are ones that take insurance.
Yeah. And, you know, I've only worked with one pelvic floor therapist, but my experience, and obviously everyone has different levels of like accessibility, but to me, it's the kind of thing where like, if you make like a concession or two in your month, like you can probably like schedule it into your budget. And mm-hmm. I don't know, for me, it has just felt so worth it. Like I have so much peace of mind. I feel so proud of my body, like knowing that I am, you know, on top of this thing that is very important to me. Everyone listening to this is a runner. So I know we're all like health aligned, like our values align with health. So I don't know. My point being, I guess, is like sometimes with medical things, you put this like idea in your mind that it's going to be like this really exorbitant price. And for me, I found like it's the kind of thing you can definitely make it work for most people. Again, like I don't know everyone's finances. But yeah, thank you. I think that's really helpful to know like there's online resources, there's telehealth, insurance may cover it. I think that hopefully, and even like I started working on the breathing stuff before I got pregnant, and I just kind of used like some different fitness apps. And if you guys want to DM me on Instagram, I can like let you know which ones I use. But just really like taking the like 10 minutes to listen and to like fail at it and like mess it up and then just like keep going back to it. Like just like paying attention to the breathing, like it really wasn't expensive to figure that out. Like it just required me to like pay attention and take the time to do it.
It brings awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you guys always, it seems like you always have workshops going on at Restore Physical Therapy. Like I feel like your Instagram is constantly advertising different workshops that are happening.
We do. That's so important to me because I personally went through a public health journey myself. That's how I ended up here. And
oh, wow.
Suffered a long time, like years on years with these symptoms. No one could figure out how to help me. And I'm like, you know, the community needs to know about this. They need to know that they can get help. I want to provide a free option for people to at least like educate themselves so they don't have to suffer like me because it's not fun. I don't think anyone should have to.
Yeah, I love that. That's really amazing that you're like sharing your wisdom and making it as accessible as possible for as many people as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a beautiful space and it feels very safe and welcoming when you walk in there, at least Restore Physical Therapy. Like I was expecting it to be this very like clinical, I don't know, like all the physical therapists I've ever been to for running injuries, it's like a medical office and your space is very like, it feels really peaceful. I really enjoy, I love it there. I'm like obsessed if you haven't noticed. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Victoria. I do always ask every guest to answer this question before they leave. There's not enough women really like owning why they love their body in this world that is so obsessed with like ripping female bodies apart. So Dr. Victoria, why do you love your body?
Oh, that's a great question. So I spent a lot of years of my life hating my body. I would try to do activities for the for the sole reason of losing weight. So like I would try to be an endurance athlete to lose weight. And I found out like recently in my life that I'm built to be strong. So I've really tried to lean into the strong woman events and I'm excelling at them. So I've learned to appreciate what my body can do, even if it's not what other people can do. I can do something pretty dang cool. So that's like even if you don't love your body now, like keep looking for the thing that you are good at and you enjoy and that brings you happiness, because it's out there. You just got to find it. You have to let yourself try new things to be able to find that for yourself.
I love that. Yeah, we're not all going to fit in the same box, and that's what makes humanity like awesome and special and wonderful. So that's a beautiful message. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Victoria.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm going to have in the show notes how to reach Dr. Victoria on Instagram. You can follow her and her practice there. If you live in Philly, obviously, you know, I'm going to tell you just like go to Restore Physical Therapy, get your pelvic floor checked out. Like I said, they do that preventative program and it has been really, really helpful for me. And thank you again, Dr. Victoria, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dear Runner Bod. If you enjoyed what you heard, remember to subscribe and make sure you share today's episode. Also, if you're looking to download a free 3-step guide to love your runner's bod, then head to serenamarierd.com. Can't wait to chat with you next week.